Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
You're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite Star Wars flick and character on the fourth? What you got?
Oh, the Marvin and I like to cosplay as Han Solo and Princess Leia and make whoopies.
So apparently John Fricky Carl dresses up as Han Solo, and they've turned their basement into the Millennium Falcon. Your thoughts?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bell says it all. Hey, man, hope you're having a great day. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
All right, time out. Before we get rolling, have you had a drink yet?
No.
Come on. Oh, you it's Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, I'm not sitting at a bar yet. It's 4 o'clock, and I still have three more hours of a show to do.
Did you see the screen capture I just put up at Mike Bell ATL?
Yes, what's in the cup?
It's a skinny margarita with I guess it's Avian, right? Avian?
Yeah,
it's tasty. Okay. Come on, it's 4 o'clock. Come on,
that's
cowboy.
That's not the tequila the Atlanta United brought for us, is it?
No, I already drank all that. That's okay, the Respado.
Yeah, that was really good.
Dude. I had one.
I haven't even brought the bottle up yet from downstairs. I'll go get it in a little bit. I told you, I got to pace myself.
How can you say you're from Texas and this is the way you handle yourself on Cinco de Mayo?
Well, listen, I am trying to be cognate on the air. Hey, not a guy who's...
How dare you? I do some of my best work, Buzz. I think my record speaks for itself. I'm also watching Chelsea, by the way. They're taking on Real Madrid today. It's the Champions League. It's a big match in the second leg. So I'm watching. So I was a little anxious, so there's an excuse out there. But I do appreciate the text and the feedback. Guys are following us. And if you are throwing down, don't forget, guys, that Hey Man Ale, especially our watermelon lime, goes great with tequila shots.
It does, man. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
B-R-I-T-E, brightboxelectrical.com. For everything you need for your house, guys, from home theater to home automation, home security, they can do it all. Backup generators, too. Man, those thunderstorms were crazy yesterday. Make sure you never lose power. Go to brightboxelectrical.com.
All right, let's talk to our man Connor Riley from Dog Nation. He joins us on a bi-weekly basis now during the season. It's every week, and we have a lot to talk about. And leading back up to the start of fall camp, we'll definitely be having Connor on more and more. But this is kind of the draft wrap-up, the follow-up to what happened with the dogs. And that Georgia Tech story I told you guys about, I will get to here in just a little bit. Connor Riley, good to have you back on. I think, you know, it was a surprise for me, maybe not for you, but I want to know, when I heard Eric Stokes being taken 29th in the first round, I was like, what? Now, I know he's fast, and I know he ran a great time, but that was a little surprising to me that he ended up being a first-round pick and the first dog off the board.
Yeah, I would say I was definitely surprised that he was the first Bulldog off the board. Him go, like, I thought he'd go like in that 35 to 45 range. So him going 29 isn't that surprising to me, but I do think him going ahead of Aziz Ojulari or even him going ahead of his teammate Tyson Campbell, that was a little surprising to me. And I think Eric's going to be a great player, but just with, I think, what Aziz showed at college last year and then what Tyson can potentially be, I thought those screamed more first-round pick than Eric Stokes did.
Yeah, I mean, we said it, Aziz Ojulari, I mean, tremendous. They love the upside. And I didn't want to be mean-spirited about it, but sometimes they were conspicuous in some of the bigger games. Is that unfair?
Mm-hmm. No, especially I think you look at the second half of that Alabama game and then even in that Florida game, the Georgia defensive line really didn't get a ton of pressure, especially you think back to that second half of the Alabama game. Yeah, he got the pressure that forced the Mac Jones interception early on, but late in that game, when Georgia's defense was needed it to make a play and go out there and try and turn Alabama over and get them off the field, they couldn't do it. And Alex Leatherwood ended up going in the first round, and while that was, I think, a bit higher than all of us expected, I think you can go back and watch how Aziz played in the second half of that game. It wasn't his best effort. And then you add in, you look at the guys who were pass rushers that were taken in the first round ahead of him. The only one smaller than 6'5 is Quiddy Pay, and he's 6'4". he's measured in at 6'2", and then you mentioned, you throw in the fact that he did have that knee injury stemming from high school, and that could give NFL teams concern going forward. I'm not surprised that he fell to 50. I would say I was probably a little surprised that he fell that deep into the second round. I thought he would have been an earlier pick there on day two.
Monty Rice goes to the Titans. So, you know, defensively, we see all these dogs come off the board. We're like, why wasn't the defense better during the season if they're putting all these guys in the league, right? That's the first thing I kept thinking about. All the offensive guys, you know, Ben Cleveland we get to later, but I'm thinking all these first couple of picks for the dogs were defensive guys.
Right, and I just think that goes to show where college football as a sport is right now. I think the first seven picks in the draft were defensive players, and even the fact that J.C. Horn, an Alpharetta native, went eight, the fact that he went that high at eight I think was surprising to some people. College football is just an offensive game right now, and while Georgia led the country in rush defense a season ago and we've led the SEC in yards per play allowed, the fact that they put that much talent in the draft and really didn't make a huge difference, especially in those big games against Alabama and Florida, I think just goes to show further evidence that college football, you have to be able to win with offense now, because you can have as much talent as you want, but at the end of the day, good offense just beats good defense. That proved itself out in the draft, and it proved itself out on the field last year for Georgia.
It is our man Connor Riley from Dog Nation here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. But, you know, Carl touched on it. I mean, Tyson Campbell, LeCount, Stokes, Stevenson, who transferred to Miami. I mean, can Tyke Smith play five positions?
He might be able to play a lot. I don't think we're going to see him at corner, but I do think he can play safety in a pinch and is going to line up at that star position for Georgia. But, yeah, I think the draft really reinforces that Georgia's secondary is going to look a lot different next year. Now, yes, you do bring back safeties with starting experience in Chris Smith and Lewis Cine, and I think you feel good there. But the cornerback position, Georgia has zero career active starts on its roster right now, and that's why it wouldn't surprise me to see Georgia go out there, go into the transfer portal, and try and bring someone in. Scholarships aren't an issue right now in terms of worrying about getting under the 85 number. They're already under that, and they're probably going to lose even a few more guys potentially to the transfer portal in the coming weeks. So Georgia's going to have room to go out and add at that cornerback position, and just given the inexperience that they have there, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest to see Georgia go out and try and add and get better at that cornerback position.
Connor Riley, our guest from Dog Nation. Make sure you follow him on social media. Check out all of his content there. Ben Cleveland, the pictures of Ben Cleveland, he looked like a monster leading into this draft. Like the pictures that were out there, you're going, man, you just didn't realize how big and dominant this guy was. He goes to the Ravens, and I think it was a great pickup for them, by the way.
Right. The thing with Cleveland, especially like a lot of the pictures that they showed, those aren't recent pictures. Those are pictures from like 4 or 5 years ago when the first big one, Rusty Manziel 247 captured this when he was about, I think, 14 years old. He has just always been a massive human being, and really it's a credit to him. This time a year ago, he was not thought of as a third-round potential draft pick. He did not have a great junior season, comes back for his senior year, really develops, improves, and lands, I think, in a great spot in Baltimore where they have a great track record of developing their offensive linemen into really good players. He's got a chance to play right away there after they trade away Orlando Brown. And, I like what Ben Cleveland became over the course of his college career, going from sort of this novelty physical freak to being an all-SEC offensive lineman and now a draft pick by the Baltimore Ravens.
It is our man Connor Riley, guys. Counting down to Clemson. We joked around a couple weeks ago about the, whatever it's called, rub the rock or your whatever it's called, and Clemson talking about how they're going to have advantages here and there. Let me throw this at you, Connor Riley. Are we going to be talking about JT Daniels as the first quarterback taken off the board over a guy like Spencer Rattler next year? What are the odds of that happening?
So if I were a gambling man and I have placed a few bets in my day, I wouldn't bet on that, if only because you look at this year, some guys slid because of injury concerns, injury history. You look at Azeez Ojulari in particular, they're sliding because of a knee injury he had in high school. Well, with JT Daniels, we've known he has multiple knee surgeries on that knee that suffered an injury in his sophomore year at USC. So because of that, I wouldn't feel great about saying he's going to be the first quarterback taken. Having said all that, I think he's going to have an awesome year and is going to very much put himself in the conversation to be one of the first quarterbacks off the board. He has great, you know, the leadership stuff, we've talked about it on here before, what he's going to bring to a team, the maturity that he already has. He's got great arm strength. His athleticism in the pocket, I think, is a little underrated. And while he might not be the considered dual threat that teams might want, he has no issue moving around, and I think actually does have really good athleticism moving side to side laterally. It's just the reason ultimately I don't think JT is going to be the number one overall pick. It's not because of talent or what he's not going to do at Georgia this year. It's because of those long-term knee injury concerns that he has and will be entering the league with.
What did I miss on Trey McKitty? Because the Chargers select him, and I'm like, I didn't see that kind of potential. I thought he might be an undrafted free agent. Did I miss something with him?
Well, so it's maybe fair to wonder if the Georgia coaching staff had as well, just given what NFL teams saw from him. At Florida State, he had 25 catches in the two seasons prior to coming to Georgia, and he only gets six. I would point out, Trey had a knee injury late in fall camp that caused him to miss, I believe, the first game of the season. It really took him some time to get integrated into the offense. And then really, you know, the passing offense for most of last season wasn't where it needed to be. He sat out the bowl game there, so he really only played, I think, eight games last season. But there were flashes where you saw Trey McKitty was an athletic difference maker at that tight end position. Georgia just, for whatever reason, and they have plenty of bodies to feed out there, you know, George Pickens, Jermaine Burton, Kyrus Jackson. But two straight years now, Georgia has had a tight end taken in the NFL draft, and both of them had fewer than 10 receptions in their time at Georgia. I find that to be just really fascinating and interesting, where those guys clearly have difference-making traits and draftable traits, but for whatever reason, the production just hasn't matched up with what NFL teams see in those guys.
Carl, remember Stephen Hill, the Georgia Tech wide receiver? Remember, we couldn't believe the Jets drafted him early in the second round.
That's true.
Like, what the hell is going on at Georgia Tech? We'll get to Tech in a second. Hey, Connor, speaking of tight ends, I know we talked about him after the spring game, but with all the excitement about Kyle Pitts, and I'm not trying to put him in that same conversation, but will we see Darnell Washington, who looks like a physical freak of his own, get in? Because I know you talked about we're missing a few of those wide receivers that we're expecting to see.
Yep.
But can Washington be an X factor for this team this year? Speaking of McKitty.
I absolutely think they can. And it's sort of – it's not. I don't think it'll be because of, like, what Darnell does and the progressions he makes. It's going to be Georgia actively choosing to make him a big part of the offense. I think Florida did that a year ago with Kyle Pitts. It paid off wonderfully for both Pitts and Florida, seeing the difference maker that he was, especially in the red zone. I think you want to see the same thing with Todd Monken calling plays this year for Georgia, deciding to use Darnell Washington in that role. Because, again, I think Jermaine Burton's going to be a really good player. Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint, who made a really good catch the other day on social media and looks to be getting healthier. I really like what Georgia has in its wide receiver room, but there aren't many human beings in the world that have the size and athletic ability that a Darnell Washington does. And with tight ends, especially at the college level, we've seen you just have to decide to use them. And in a game where, you know, the athletic advantages against, say, lesser opponents like Vanderbilt, Georgia Tech, Georgia doesn't need to rely on an athletic difference maker like Darnell Washington, because Jermaine Burton, Kyrus Jackson in those games are those guys. Against a team like a Clemson, against an Ohio State, against an Alabama, Darnell Washington is an athletic difference maker, even on a field with elite prospects. And so really, if Darnell is going to have the big year that I think a lot of us think he can, it's going to come down to Georgia deciding that's how they want to go out and use Darnell Washington in the passing game.
As always, Connor Riley, great stuff. Appreciate you stopping by. Let them know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, if you guys can follow me on Twitter, at @KConnorRiley. We've got a ton of stuff up on Dog Nation. I'll be writing tomorrow about the Georgia-Clemson and that budgeting rivalry and what it's really going to look like over the next couple of years.
All right, man. Great stuff. Appreciate you stopping by. Before we get out of here with talking college football, Willie Beeman stopped by Georgia Tech. Coach Collins tweeted this out. Georgia Tech fans, we're talking about Jamie Foxx and Mike and I, one of our all-time favorite movies. We always talk about it.
Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, and so they got him throwing the football, which is like a wow moment because I didn't think he had that kind of arm. But he also worked out with the guys, and the pictures are up. I just retweeted one of them. But Jamie Foxx, man, in town, and, you know, he does a bunch of movies and stuff here, and so it's not uncommon for him to be around the ATL. But he stopped in at Georgia Tech, and a big shout-out to them. They were like Atlanta, the epicenter of entertainment, fashion, music, business, technology, movies. And they give a big shout-out to Jamie Foxx. So those pictures are up at Georgia Tech football.
And it's really cool because Jamie was a high school quarterback down in Texas. That's why he was able to do what he did in on any given Sunday. And just kind of dovetails. We'll talk more about it tomorrow in depth because we had Connor on today. But I got to agree with Jeff Schultz. He wrote an interesting article in The Athletic saying, Carl, that Coach has done a great job to change the culture and the perception of Georgia Tech. It's actually pretty cool. Everything from the Adidas sponsorship to him hanging it to Waffle House to Jamie Foxx throwing it through the uprights. But now you got to take Jahmyr Gibbs and Jeff Sims and win six or seven games this year.
Yeah, winning is the cure-all, right? I mean, ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to. You can have a nice vibe, which is something I think that they've all strived for there, but you got to win. Hey, coming up, though, we're going to talk about the Hawks and can they win, not only tonight, but what's the long-term outlook for our Atlanta Hawks? Poll questions got people buzzing today, and I don't understand why. It's next. So for all of you folks who answered no to the poll question, which today is should Trae Young have a say in who the Hawks' next full-time head coach should be, explain to me why. 48% of the folks who have already voted say no, he shouldn't. 38% of the folks who have voted say yes, he should. And 13% say if he balls in the playoffs. Okay, so here's the irony of this. You're going to pay Trae Young a max deal. Okay, whether you like it or not, that's what's going to happen. And when that happens, Trae Young is going to have more power than any of these coaches that are going to be here, whether they're here now or in the future. So why not have your star player on the same page as to where you are going with this? Now, that doesn't mean, Mike, he has total and full control. He's not a dictator. But I want my star to at least have some kind of impact when it comes to, hey, you know what? Things are rolling. We feel good about this. And this is the guy that I hope gets the job. And then behind the scenes, if he's saying that's the guy who should get the job, then that's the guy. You're building around Trae Young. Somebody help me understand why you don't want him to have any say in this, Mike.
I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a guy that kind of dictated the tempo with the Pistons, and I always thought he was kind of a jerk. And I don't think, you know, sometimes it's ego. Sometimes it's a little too much power for some guys who maybe shouldn't have it because they alienate teammates. I don't think that's the case. I just think the logic behind what you're saying, and some of the guys are agreeing on the poll, is Trae is going to be here. You've built this thing around Trae. Like, you know, I hate that I've got to defend Trae during the commercial break. You and I are sitting here defending Trae in a city where the guy, again, he's averaging a double-double practically. He's right behind, you know, Harden and LeBron as far as scoring. And I still got to explain to Hawks fans why he is part of the long-term plan. And again, Cam Reddish, the Luka trade, that's whatever. Cam Reddish will either become something or he won't. Trae is a star in this league. Had he gone to the bubble last year, everybody would have known it. And then you wouldn't have to sit there like as a Hawks fan and wonder why he didn't make the All-Star game, because he would have made the All-Star game this year here in Atlanta, albeit as wacky as it was. But, Carl, regardless, I like the relationship he has with Nate. He's lobbying for Nate to have the job. He seems comfortable with him. He apparently wasn't getting what he needed from Lloyd Pierce, nor were many guys on the team, but those were the guys that were more vocal. Those were the guys that were asking for Lloyd Pierce. If you go back and read the article, specifically, Carl, the Athletic article that came out, it wasn't Trae Young that was saying, hey, this guy's got to go. But when they asked him, he says, okay, you can move on from Lloyd. So you've already kind of ceded some of the control to the player. So let's the guy who's going to be the face of the franchise for a decade have some say in it. I'm not saying the final word, Carl, but hey, Trae, can you work with Nate? You want Nate around? Yes, I do. Thank you. How's that sound?
It sounds perfect. Al Simmons says, no, he's too young and not mature enough.
Oh, what are you – you know, by the way, did Steph Curry come out of the womb and win an NBA championship? Go back and look at how Golden State became Golden State. It did not happen overnight. I got guys going, nobody wants to play with Trae. I'm okay, well, oh, yes. You guys, I mean, I swear to God, Stephen A. Smith and ESPN and their coverage of the NBA is making everyone collectively stupid because it's all these absolutes. No, if you've been watching the Hawks, you know the injury. We lost John Collins for nearly a quarter of the season last year. Okay, we didn't make the bubble. Trae was working his butt off, taking the big shots, Carl. And this drives me nuts. I got to explain this to people.
Yeah, and the maturity thing, Al, here's the thing. And I appreciate the comments. Hit us up. You can find us, Mike Bell, ATL. Put them up, C Dukes. Put them up. And Dukes and Bell 929, where this poll is. All these guys come into the league young. Al, all of them. Embiid was young. Okay? Durant was young. LeBron was young. What are we talking about? So at what point do you go, he's 27, he's mature enough? No, he's not, because there's a bunch of guys that are 27 and they're not mature. They all come into the league young. The idea is he doing the necessary things on and off the court to represent your franchise and that you feel good enough about him to pay him what you're going to pay him and to have him be the face? They're all young. So this thing about maturity, I don't get that. I don't understand it. To be honest with you, I think Trae's way more mature than what you guys think he is. Just because he doesn't do every damn interview, I think he's well aware of everything that's going on. I do. And so because of that, I'm not going to use that as an excuse. But Al, I've seen that a couple of different times today, so I'm calling you out, not specifically, but for those people who say, well, he's not mature enough. So at what age did you become, like, all-knowing? At what age did you, it just hit for you? Was it, I don't know, 25? Was it 40? Like, that's the stupidest thing, man. I mean, for me, you see a kid that's coming to the league, he's doing it the right way, he's not involved in any crap, okay? And he's trying to win every night. You're getting his best night in and night out.
Right.
Sometimes
and by the
it's
way,
not good enough. But that's not the point here.
But Steph Curry came out of college. He stuck around at Davidson. He was 21 when he came to Golden State. And, oh, by the way, they didn't make the playoffs until his fourth season. I mean, this is – I mean, you want to – is this history? Am I making this up? 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012. That's when they got to the playoffs. The first 3 years, Carl, they did not go to the playoffs under Steph Curry. The first year they got to the conference semis. But and by the way, as I said, he was also 3 years older than Trey when he started. But, I mean, you want to get facts or you want to talk about, like, winner, loser, good? It's all this absolutes you and I always talk about, which gets into the equation. They pronounced Trey Young a non-starter when the guy statistically is one of the elites in the NBA.
Now, if you are going to go vote, I'm not telling you you have to vote yes. That's why the poll's up. But I do want to know why you're voting no. And is it really making sense? Like, if you're telling me I don't want any player, I don't care if it's Trae Young or anybody, to be making decisions that the franchise should be making, okay, I can ride with that. But let it be no player, not just singling out our star and saying he shouldn't have any say. Tonight is a big game against the Suns. We'll see how the season plays out. Right now we're sitting in the fifth spot. Currently in the Eastern Conference, I do not want to be in this play-in tournament if we can avoid it. Because, again, anything can happen, even if you have to win a game or two. But I think this is crazy. And, again, this gets back to the podcast when Adrian Wojnarowski asked him about, you know, his influence in the next coaching situation. And so he just said, look, I think things are going well with Nate and how we've responded. He didn't say, if Nate's not here, I'm not here. But I do think our stars should have some kind of say. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You know, it gets back to the whole Matt thing. Nobody wants to take ownership when it goes wrong. Matt Ryan knew who they were bringing in, and Matt Ryan okayed who they brought in. Do not think for a second that that wasn't the case. And when Dirk Cutter came back here, you don't think they went to him and said, we're bringing back Dirk. He went, oh, hell no. He went, okay. He knew. So when it went bad and everybody's going, why is this offense not as good as it should be? Everybody's got to look in the mirror. And that's the same thing with Trey, Mike. If it turns out not being as good as it should be, Trey also is, if in fact he signs off on whoever they bring in, or if it's Nate, then you got to say, yeah, you know what? That was the guy I wanted. I thought it could work. That's fine. But he should have a say.
This team is never winning a Super Bowl with Matt and Julio.
Thank you, Chris. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. All right, man, go vote. It just drives me crazy.
I mean, I've been going round and round with these guys. They don't like the Pitts pick. We should have drafted Sewell. If we drafted Sewell, you would have wanted Pitts. You know, I mean, you wanted Luka. Imagine the sell we would have had to do with Luka at the time. Nobody wanted Luka. Go back and how many guys wanted Luka at the time? Apparently everybody wanted Luka here to land. I don't remember it that way, Carl. Do you?
Nope. Not at all.
I certainly do not. But I just gave it to you guys. Steph Curry did not go to the playoffs the first 3 years. They built the thing around him. They made the right moves. And our general manager came from that franchise, and he's trying to do the exact same thing. And had we had some success last year in the bubble, we would have made – and again, at the very least, Trey could have hit a couple of big half-court shots and some big threes. We might have won a couple of games, and maybe the rest of the country would know what we have in Trey. But to have to sit here and apologize for a young star in our own city, it's mind-blowing. It wears me out, to be quite honest with you.
All right, guys, plenty more to get to, including some guy talk, Mike Bell.
Yeah, here's some things I didn't know. Maybe you did. We kind of touched on this yesterday with the Bill Gates divorce. Did you realize all this time that nerd's wife has allowed him to have a side piece?
Well, when you're rich, Mike.
I guess so. It's a come out in the divorce proceedings. The news is getting out there. And Carl, Snow White is the latest victim of the cancel culture. We'll explain.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, man. On a hump day, brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings, guys. Go to HootsWings.com. Chicken wings and other things, including thousands of different varieties of flavors, whether you want to get them baked or smoked or you want them nice and crispy. Not to mention, guys, Hey Man Ale at all three locations. Look for the orange awnings. Go to HootsWings.com. Hey, man, it is Cinco de Mayo. A victory over the French, Carl, back in the day when we had our backs turned on Central America during the Civil War. And we're celebrating today. Apparently, it's only in a few provinces in Mexico. Basically, the rest of the world has kidnapped or co-opted Cinco de Mayo for our own purposes.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you can find an excuse to drink, people do it. So that's another reason why Cinco de Mayo is taking off.
So are you going to do it or what?
Yeah, after five.
You know what? When did this? When did you become like Father's Knows Best? We've been throwing it back before 5 o'clock on this show. It's a day to do that.
I know.
Well, you got a conscience now? What is this?
No. You know this, Mike. I mean, tequila, I always say it's a game changer. It is. It just is. I mean, when you're with your friends or you're at a bar and you're like, and somebody always says, tequila shots. I always look around just to see who's about to get toe up. To just see the looks on their faces before it all goes down, because just a few shots of tequila can change the whole momentum of a situation.
That is true.
If you photos, know what I'm talking about.
Photos are up. About. Yes, indeed. Photos are up at Mike Bell ATL, and I put them up, C-Dukes, from our we had spent, I think you and I have had 5 Cinco de Mayos in Las Vegas, which is always a lot of fun for Canelo or for Mayweather fights or whatever. Always a good time. So don't forget, guys, Hey Man Ale, our watermelon lime, is a great chaser if you are drinking tequila, to Carl's point. Matter of fact, why not put a – how about this, Carl? We'll create our own drink. You take our watermelon lime, put it on the rocks, and then throw the tequila in it.
I'm with that. That would be that's kind of that fact. That Corona kind of thing. Yeah.
Corona Rita. What do you think, Chris?
I think the song says it all.
I think, you know what? After this segment is over, and I'm not going to rush through it. I got stuff I got to tell you guys. I'm going to try that. I'm going to do a Hey Man Ale, watermelon lime on the rocks. We'll throw the tequila in there, and we'll see what kind of party that creates in the final 2 hours of the show. Hey, man, we talked about Bill Gates getting a divorce, one of the richest men in the world, and now more and more information is coming out. Billionaire Microsoft founder Carl made kind of an arrangement, dare I say, before he married Melinda, his wife, back in 1994. He did say in a Time magazine profile in 97, which I guess people started dusting off some of this old stuff, apparently part of the marriage arrangement was Bill would be allowed to spend a long weekend every year on a cozy beach in a cottage in North Carolina with his ex-girlfriend.
When you're rich, Mike.
I mean,
put the parameters in there, yeah. You know?
And again, the woman is as you'd expect, pretty nerdy in her own right. She was a venture capitalist and tech person and was actually more wealthy than Bill when they first started dating. But apparently, she's been down with this. And 27 years of marriage, including the getaways on the weekend, is now coming to an end. Strange stuff. The young lady, a blonde named, last name is Winblad. It's just like two nerds getting together. Apparently, back in the old days, Gates and her would watch movies, Carl, in theaters in different parts of the country, then have a phone conversation about the movie they just saw separately.
Okay, well, they just wanted some company. I mean, what's the
big... How many guys? Yes, honey, I know we're about to get married, and I don't want a prenup, but once a year, I'm going to take a weekend to Myrtle Beach with that crazy stripper ex-girlfriend of mine. How's that sound?
Was she a stripper?
No, she's a tech nerd. They're just more, it's all nerds.
Well, like I said,
he married a nerd.
They just wanted to talk about this.
Parties with a nerd. I mean, I got to tell you, it's a little disappointing if you're looking for something a little more salacious.
Have you guys seen the social media reaction to this, by the way?
Yes. Yes, I have.
So what everyone is doing, for those who are not informed, is they are changing their online dating profiles, saying exclusively looking for either Melinda or Bill Gates, and putting all of their categories as my favorite thing to do is read books and invest in internet stocks.
Nice. Nice.
I love it.
The other woman is 5 years older than Gates, and secluded beach trips have included everything from riding dune buggies to hang gliding, Carls, and quiet strolls on the beach.
Just wanted some company, Mike. I mean, somebody to connect with. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So again, Bill wasn't such a big deal when I started dating him. Winblad told the San Francisco Chronicle about 15 years ago. Apparently the wife was down with it. I wonder, you can't complain about it if you agreed to it. I guess it won't be any part of the divorce settlement, right?
No, here's the deal. I mean, and everybody is different, right? But I'm going to say this, and I hope it doesn't sound bad, but it probably will. If you get into a situation and the guy you're going to marry says, hey, here's what the expectation is. if you know from the jump, you can't complain. Like, that's just what it is. Like, if you don't like those circumstances, then you go, I'm out. I'm not in for this. But if I say to you, hey, I'm going to be seeing Linda every fourth weekend, okay, and you go, cool, then you know what the expectations are. See, I think people get caught up in this because they're like, oh, I can't believe this. If she knew, then it wasn't a problem.
Hey, by the way, if you're watching Chelsea and Real Madrid and you don't want to know what's going on, turn off your radio. Chelsea just scored a second goal, Carl. Champions League. Very excited today. I've been watching some of this while we're talking. Hey, by the way, Snow White is the latest cancel culture victim, Carl. San Francisco Gate newspaper says, guess what? When Snow White apparently gets a kiss or she's unconscious and without her consent, apparently, Carl, you can't kiss somebody when they're knocked out. It sets a bad precedent for the kids.
Yeah, Michelle brought this up to me yesterday, and I was
are we really going down this road? She's in a coma. The prince wakes her out of it.
I was really disappointed about this whole ordeal. I thought she was joking. She's like, no, this is serious. This is what they're talking about now. I don't even
Disneyland reopened up down in Southern California and West Coast papers. I mean, come on.
I don't even have a comment on this.
The prince in the fairy tale in Disney, it's not like the prince is feeling her
He gives her
a kiss.
Mike, what did you just say?
Fairy I said
tale? Is it a fairy tale? It's a fairy tale. Did you just say that? Yeah,
yes.
It's a fairy tale. And people are now reacting to the I don't even have anything to say. I don't have anything
no,
to say.
I was
it's a fairy tale.
I was disgusted when I saw that. Disneyland has not responded to the criticism. Darn right they shouldn't. They reopened, and somebody decided to take this and run with this. And now we got to cancel Snow White because, you literally, there's never any sense of perspective in any of this. There's never any context in any of this. It's mind-blowing. Anyway, I give up. Hey, man, we mentioned earlier with Squidbillion and Yeah Man, No Man, not to glorify running cocaine into America, but it was one hell of a movie, and the guy was kind of a Robin Hood in his own right, George Young. He passed away at age 78. Boston George, as he was played by Johnny Depp in the movie. I always stop that movie when he marries Penelope Cruz. I watch the first hour, and it's a happy ending if you stop it right there, Carl. We're talking about the movie Blow.
And it's a long movie. If you've never seen it, it is excellent. There's no doubt about it. But to find out, like, this is, you know, a lot of these movies, I always say this, based on a real story.
Right.
This was a real story. I think this guy lived this way was incredible.
On the pot bust, he was in federal prison in Connecticut. His cellmate was Carlos Lader, who, if you guys remember, started the island in the Bahamas that they use as. And it's just on the story, as you say, truth is stranger than fiction, flying down to meet Pablo Escobar and all that. But anyway, George Young, who was friends with Johnny Depp and his Squidbillion mansion, got out in 16, had a parole violation, but did get more or less 3 years out of federal prison. He passed away at the age of 78. All right. Now about making money legitimately, but is that what they really do on Wall Street? Let's hit the closing bell. It is brought to you by Alliance Tax Solutions. Get the IRS off your back, find a settlement, and make something you're going to live with. Get the pros who know what they're doing. Go to AllianceTaxSolutions.com. Dow Jones, Carl, up 97 points today. Solid earnings reports. S&P 500 up nearly 3 points. And NASDAQ, unfortunately, was down 51. Closing bell brought to you by Alliance Tax Solutions. Famous birthdays today on Cinco de Mayo. Chris Brown, 32. Adele is 32.
She looks great, by the way. She's lost all that weight. I mean, I didn't believe those pictures when I first saw him, but when Adele came out. But she looks amazing. She does.
You got Henry Cavill. You know who Henry Cavill is?
Henry Cavill? I do not know
who that is. Yeah, he's Superman. Played Superman, was also in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay, that's the new Superman,
yeah,
right?
Well, he's not Superman anymore, I guess, right? But DC did use him for a couple, right?
Gotcha,
He was Superman.
That was the dark Superman, right? Wasn't that the
dark? No, that was one with Brandon. What's his name, Chris? Brandon Routh?
Brandon Routh.
Okay.
You forget it. That one didn't exist.
Yeah, this is one where Kevin Spacey played Lex Luthor. It was terrible.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah, Cavill was the one that they realized. I mean, you and I always talk about it. We talked about Star Wars yesterday, and guys are still upset, apparently, about our Star Wars conversations.
Really?
I guess guys either love it or hate it. But DC just doesn't do it as well as Marvel. Marvel gets it in DC, with the exception of the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. Just, I don't think they really have a handle on what they should be doing with those things.
Yeah. What's the good DC movie they made? Chris, we were just talking about this. There is one.
Wonder Woman, the first one.
That's right. The first Wonder Woman, 1984, and it came out during the pandemic, and actually they put it straight, I think it was HBO Max or something. And I watched it and was like, The first one was great, and I thought, like, okay, it's going to live up to it, and it didn't. So,
all right, also with birthdays, a couple of Englishmen, Michael Palin from Monty Python is 77. Ian McCullough of Echo and the Bunnymen, good band, very underrated, 62. Harold Miner, Carl, Baby Jordan is 50 today.
Yeah. How old is he?
50.
Wow, Baby Jordan. Speaking of never living up to it, Mike, he never lived up to it.
Guy had some hops back for the played for the Heat, right? Back
That's
in the
right.
day.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Karl Marx for you youngsters, don't waste your time with that. He was an idiot. And Tammy Wynette, stand by your man board today. Happy Cinco de Mayo. I hope you were going to get the tequila out of the 5 o'clock hour, sir.
I am. I'm. A matter of fact, I'm going to set it right here so you can see it on Twitch at ATL929 The Game, so you can check it out. I'm going to go downstairs and retrieve it.
By the way, guys, before we get out of here, did you guys follow up on this Tom Wilson situation going on in the NHL?
No.
This is a disaster. If you guys didn't see it, basically two nights ago they were playing
the Rangers.
Yeah. And he slammed without a helmet on their best player, Artemi Panarin, who's a top 10 player in the NHL, onto the ice and nearly killed him. He's now out for the season, and this guy is a complete goon. What the Rangers did, they put out a statement saying, we abhor this behavior. They actually called out one of the league officials. And then today, in a very strange move, fired both their general manager and their president of operations.
Yeah, John Davidson, who I love, Carl, the longtime goalkeeper for the Rangers. Sorry to judge off, Chris, and is a great guy. And so what's this about, Chris? They didn't like the response? What should we be doing? Calling Barry Beck and getting some of the goons
right.
out?
So
call Nick Fetillo and bring him out of retirement?
Right. The only way to read into this is that the Rangers put out a response and that the team, specifically James Dolan, might not have liked the way that it was handled. But if you guys have seen this hit, if you haven't seen it, go look it up. It's all over the internet. It was one of the worst things you'll ever see in sports.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Maybe nobody told you we don't really talk hockey here because no one cares. But anyway, thanks. It is Dukes and Bell, man. That's Guy Talk. And no, I'm a big Ranger fan. It was a terrible incident. But if you believe in no such thing as bad publicity, Carl, they should actually have some numbers for the NHL tonight.
Yeah, those things transcend sports when you have those incidents. It's like when a guy gets hit with a stick or puck in the face and it becomes a talking point. I did see it, and I did think it was disgusting, and I'm surprised at the reaction. Hey, coming up, Falcon Report. We got a lot to talk about in regards to our Falcons. How does our head coach get this done? It's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.